We want you to know we came seeking you. We came seeking you. We came seeking you. We declare openly there's none like you, none before you. There will be none after you. Praise God. And we declare that you are here right now in the midst of us. We recognize and we reverence your presence, Lord. Thank you, Father. We praise you tonight. If a king or a president walked into this room tonight, we wouldn't stop our worship of you to recognize them. We would wait till we were through worshiping you, and then we would give honor where honor is due, but we would not break our worship of you for the president of this nation or for a king of a great country. Oh, Father, we've come here with our hearts set upon you tonight. We come here not having any of men's persons in view, but only you, Father. We love you. We want to be, Lord, about your business in these last of the last days. We want to be yielded vessels of honor, meet for the Master to use. Oh, the joy of knowing that we are being used of God in these closing hours, in this critical time. The joy of knowing that we are in the kingdom for a time such as this. Oh, Father, let none look back. No man that looks back is fit for the work of the kingdom of God. No man that puts his hand to the plow. If you've ever said, Lord, use me. Lord, here am I. Use me. I'm willing to commit myself to your kingdom work. No man that ever makes that commitment and looks back is fit for the work of the kingdom. All it takes to look back is discouragement. You work all day and you may not see anyone come to God. Remember that true story I told you about Hudson Taylor? He was supposed to preach in a schoolhouse. The host said, because a great storm descended. And the hostess said, sir, you know, there's no one going to be there. There's no point in going. This is a terrible storm. People would have to come through this storm to get in this schoolhouse meeting announced. And Hudson Taylor said, I'm going, and I'm going to preach, even if there's no one there but the doorman. 12 people showed up. 6 of them, amen, became missionaries because of that meeting. The other 6, their children became missionaries, and they supported missions all the years of their life because 12 people that came through the rain to get to church when they had every excuse to stay home. Amen. And a preacher that said 12 is enough. If they yield to God, doesn't matter. I'm going to preach. Amen. So it's so good to know that God can work, save by many, or he can save by few. The Bible said it doesn't matter to him. We're the ones that make the distinction. God doesn't. Can you say amen? I'm so proud of the Lord tonight. Thank you for singing those good songs. Amen. From your heart. I know you practice hard today, and I know you're tired. Amen. I look at people that I know are tired, and I'm tired too. Amen. But we're going to get to, I started to say rest tomorrow, but we're not, are we? A lot of us got things. How many's got anything to do tomorrow? How many's not going to lay in a hammock somewhere and drink lemonade? I'm not. Amen. Well, I got things to do, a lot to do. Praise God. If this is retirement, I don't know how I did it and worked. I just can't figure that out. Talk about grace. Amen. I'm going to read from this fellow's Bible here, and I believe he needs an upgrade with bigger letters. You can tell the young people in the audience because they got these letters that only an ant with a magnifying glass could read. But I can see it with my glasses on. Thank the Lord for good glasses. Praise the Lord. Amen. We're going to talk about being filled with the Holy Spirit tonight in the context of some last day stuff that is real important to understand that this is so crucial not getting caught up in all of the stuff that's happening in these latter days. And I'm going to give this young man back his Bible in a few minutes. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5 for a few minutes tonight. I don't have long to preach this sermon. I'm not trying to get it too short, but I'm not trying to stretch it out either. I want to get to the point tonight. You know where we're headed here in Ephesians 5 is Ephesians 5 and verse 18. Being filled with the Spirit has been looked at in many areas for the wrong reason. The top shelf stuff is not what a lot of Pentecostal charismatics have been looking for. Charismatics, as we came to be called, became to be called cruismatics because they went from meeting to meeting and church to church looking for another dose of the Holy Spirit. And anyone that's doing that missed the purpose of the Spirit when he was given initially. Amen? Anyone who's doing that is looking for something to receive again that we should be giving out and giving forth. Out of your belly, amen, as Sean preached Sunday night, praise God, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. I used to try to say that too fast, and I'm glad I'm saying it in the early part of the service before I get very excited, because I usually say, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Can you say amen? And some people have a little problem finding that in their Strong's. But anyway, God is good and he's here tonight. I want to put this in context because of Ephesians 5 is a warning to Christians not to get caught up in the attitude and the flow of this world. When we get to the part about being not drunk with wine, we're not just talking about alcoholic beverages. We're talking about being drunk with the cares of this life. The Bible says that Jesus taught specifically to beware lest our hearts be overcharged with drunkenness and banqueting, amen, and the cares of this life, that day would come upon us as a thief. For as a snare, it shall come upon all the inhabitants of the earth without exception. They're not going to be expecting it. In fact, the scoffing attitudes is going to cause that scripture to be fulfilled. They're not looking for the coming of Jesus. They're certainly not looking for a judgment to come. You'd be hard-pressed to hear a sermon on the judgment to come. But friend of mine, the judgment is coming, whether preachers preach it or not, in God's timing. Amen. And thank God for a loving God that won't be provoked to sending it prematurely. Amen. Scoffers will come in the last day saying, where's the sign of his coming? And all of these things that are going to happen. Where is that sign? Ever since our father slept, all things remain as they are to this day. But of this they are willingly ignorant. Amen. That a day is 1,000 years with the Lord, and 1,000 years is one day. And God is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness. Amen. But he's long-suffering, not willing that any would perish. Everybody say, not willing that any would perish, but that all might have eternal life. Amen. So Ephesians 5 is written to the Christian church and Christians in particular that obviously, because of what is written here, are in danger of going the way of the world and being caught up in the things of the world and letting the flesh actually govern them, just like the world is letting the flesh lead them and govern them. So before we get down to the 18th verse, we want to set a context, and I want to begin reading from the first verse. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ has loved us and hath given himself to us for an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather the giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater. As much as we preach against idolatry, or used to, we teach covetousness, which is and makes people idolaters. When we covet what someone else has instead of appreciate what we have in Jesus Christ, we become idolaters. The Bible said covetousness is, in effect, idolatry. Isn't it incredible today that we don't preach against idolatry? We don't think because people don't have a big fat-bellied Buddha sitting in the middle of their living room that they don't have to deal with idolatry. Amen. Idolatry is whatever and whoever that we put before God in our life. Can you say amen? It can be your job. It can be your children. It can be your wife. It can be your husband. Can you say amen? If any man come after me and hate not his wife, husband, daddy, mama, house, land, and his own life, he can't be my disciple, because there's somebody in front of me How can he be sold out to me and follow me? There's somebody more persuasive, more important in his life than I am. See, Jesus' standard for discipleship is way higher than the church is set today. We're looking for a head count and looking to meet our budgets. Amen. God is looking for true followers. That's why the Bible said, be ye followers of God as dear children and walk in love even as Jesus Christ. Listen to this. For this ye know that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be ye not therefore partakers with them, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now ye are light in the Lord. Walk as the children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake, thou that sleepeth, arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And here's this key scripture. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit. Can you say amen? Be ye filled with the Spirit. This is not a Pentecostal, charismatic verse of scripture. We didn't write this. This is God himself to the New Testament believer. He said, be ye filled with the Spirit. Amen. Notice three things about this particular verse of scripture. It's not a suggestion. It's not an appeal. It's a command. Amen. Be ye filled with the Spirit. It's not for a few spiritual elite. It's not for a few people that are really seeking to excel spiritually. It's for every born again child of God. Amen. Be ye filled with the Spirit. Number two, it's a present tense verb. Amen. Oh, by the way, I want to throw something else in that I put down as a note here. It's not a suggestion or appeal, but a command. Anything less is disobedience to the Word of God. When God commands something, to not obey that command is disobedience to the Word of God. Amen. There are whole church denominations that have pushed away the command to be filled with the Spirit. And the way they pushed it away is by explaining it away. That when you get saved, you got everything in a neat little package. But Jesus says you're going to need more than your sins forgiven. You're going to need power from on high. Because you're going to be dealing with a force in this world that is so strong and so mighty that nothing less than God's power, when the gospel is preached, is going to be adequate for us to win this battle. There are a lot of decisions made in churches when kids are 12 years old. And they walk down that aisle because you get it all in one package. And they are asked a question. Do you believe that Jesus died for you and rose from the dead according to the scriptures? And they give mental assent to that. And they're told that after that they are saved as they'll ever be. And that's all there is. Don't look for no more. And you wonder why so many young people leave the faith when they get to high school or college or even junior high school. Can you say amen? We count their heads at the youth group. And we say, this many people came to Christ around the campfire. And I'm not talking about your grandson. Amen. But the proof is not in what is confessed, amen, at that moment, but what is walked out. Because the Bible said you've got to more than give lip service or mouth service. You've got to be a follower of God. Amen. To prove out and walk out your faith. You said, well, preacher, we're not saved by works. No, but we're created unto good works. In other words, good works shows that a creative work of God has worked in us. And it's called the regeneration of the Holy Spirit. The heart of stone has been changed supernaturally into a heart of flesh that God can now speak to. And we can hear him and heed what he has to say. Can you say amen? I pray that everyone that confesses Christ is truly saved. We've got neat scripts and formulas to read to people, and we can count them as saved. We had a lady who was really into soul winning, and I commend that. We need to be more involved in soul winning, but she would just grab people on the street and she was so forceful. Amen. They actually prayed the sinner's prayer to get her to get away from them, leave them alone. Amen. They really did. But she claimed their soul for God. I won this person today, that person. We never saw them show up in God's house. We never saw them get a hunger for God's word. We never saw them have one word of worship for the Lord. We didn't see them put their beer and whiskey down. But she wrote it up that she won these three or these four today or these five tomorrow. She was very forceful. But no man comes to him because we are so forceful. They only come to him if my Father draws them. It's a work of the Holy Spirit. It's not the work of man. Can you say amen? We can tell a sentimental story about how much Jesus loves and suffered for people. And in their sentimentality, they can make an emotional decision to walk down an aisle that won't last very long. Can you say amen? It just won't last. What we're up against, it will not last. Amen. The current of this world is strong, and you've got to be a committed Christian to not follow that current. And he's telling them it's going to take more than lips. Service. You got to follow Christ as a dear child who loves in simple but devoted commitment. Amen. Or you're not going to follow him at all. Amen. And following God proves whether we've received Christ as our Savior or not. Amen. A disciple is not just a learner. I want to get that very clear tonight. It's not just knowing what your master knows. It's becoming what your master is. There's a vast difference, amen, in sitting in a classroom to learn what your teacher knows, amen. When you come to Jesus, what he's talking about discipleship is becoming what he is. And the fivefold ministry is that we become what he is. Not just know what he knows, but become what he is. And to become what he is, we have to follow God as dear children. And walk in love for God enough that we would commit our whole life and say, not my will, thine. When our will comes in conflict with his will, amen, we defer to him. And we don't have a big struggle and argument about it. Jesus wasn't struggling in the garden with the will of God. Jesus was struggling with the fact that to fulfill the will of God, he that knew no sin was going to have to become treated as a sinner. Can you say amen? That was the struggle. There was no struggle with the will of God. How do you know? Because in the volume of the book it is written, he said, I came with one single purpose, to do thy will, O God. I'm not vacillating here, amen, in the garden. I am coming here knowing that to do the will of God, amen, not the pain of the cross, but it's the shame that's going to come upon me, for cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree. We see a cleaned up version of Jesus hanging on the cross. We see that outstretched figure on the cross with a little dab of red, simple dab of red on each palm, and a dab of red on those poor feet, and an open wound that isn't bleeding. We don't see the rib cage exposed, but it was. It was prophetically of Jesus Christ. It said, my bones stare out of me. Because when that whip that the Romans used with shards of glass or pottery or metal or bone in the end of it, when it wrapped around him and they jerked it back, it wasn't the lash alone. It was the jerking of it back. It tore the flesh. And that where the rib cage was, it flayed that on both sides. He was flayed on both sides. And where the rib cage was, you could see the white bones. And he said, my bones stare out of my body. That kind of beating took place before they ever put one nail in him on the cross. We've cleaned up Calvary, amen, to just not provoke any kind of real devotion and love. There are circles where the songs about the blood of Jesus are not sung anymore. They've got rid of the old hymnals, amen, because they said the postmodern world and this new church movement, we don't need a bloody gospel. Honey, without the blood of Jesus Christ, no one's ever going to get saved. Amen. We've got a form of godliness that denies the very power thereof. Amen. Praise God. Listen to me very carefully. Amen. This is not about legalism. This is about having a genuine experience in God. This is not about sinless perfection. This is having a new bent in your heart toward righteousness instead of sinfulness. Hallelujah. This is not religious bondage. This means that we've been set free from Satan's prison house and we are not subject to him any longer. Can you say amen? So the Bible said, be ye not drunk in verse 18 with wine, wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. It's a present tense verb. We are to be filled with the Spirit now. And it's a continuous action verb. It could be translated, be being filled. And you can see that very clearly in Acts chapter 4. In Acts chapter 2, you can see them being filled with the Holy Ghost. In Acts chapter 4, there's a threat to the gospel of Jesus Christ. They set themselves to boldly declare the word of God. And the Bible said when they did, amen, they were all these people that were there on the day of Pentecost, all these people that had the initial baptism in the Holy Ghost. Can you say amen? See, a lot of people are living on a testimony, and we used to do it like this in church. I thank God I'm saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost. In other words, it happened way back yonder. Amen. So we come and we sit. There's nothing else to achieve. There's nowhere else to go. There's nothing else to do. I have reached the peak of spirituality because I have been saved, I have been sanctified, and I have been filled with the Holy Ghost. And now I can just sit down on my knees and take my knees till Jesus comes. Can you say amen? Because I talk in tongues. Occasionally I give a message. Can you say amen? No. Being filled means that you are following Jesus close enough and you are yielded fully enough to him that the Holy Spirit can have his way in and through your life. Amen. Every single day of your life. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and spoke the word of God with boldness and with great power, gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? Be ye not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be ye as if they had never been filled. No, but be ye continuously. Be being filled. It isn't that it drains out. Filled with has to be accompanied by, controlled by. If it's not accompanied by, controlled by, then it's not the filled with. Just because you talk in tongues don't mean you're controlled by the Holy Spirit. It means he's there and he wants to take over. He wants to let Christ be manifest through us. But I'm going to tell you something. Unless we become yielded to Christ's lordship, there's no such thing as being controlled by the Holy Spirit. Amen. How many have found out that a lot of tongue-talking people, the rest of their tongue is not controlled by the Holy Spirit? Amen. I've had people eat me alive. Amen. I've seen pit bulls I'd rather bite me than what some people have done to me. Amen. That talk in tongues on Sunday, but they gnaw on me the rest of the week. I've had that happen. I know there's more to the Holy Ghost than that. Can you say amen? Listen, if you can talk in other tongues, God wants you to talk in this tongue correctly. Amen. He's there. He's giving evidence in an overwhelming way of his presence. But in order for him to move through you in a practical, personal way, you have to yield to him and surrender to him. Not just surrender to him, but surrender to Christ. It's surrendering to the lordship of Jesus that lets the Holy Spirit express himself. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. God is so good tonight. I want to see the Spirit-filled people be not only filled with, but controlled by the Holy Ghost. Everywhere that's written, it's rendered the same in its fullness, in the full Greek. Filled with and controlled by. Because if you're not controlled by, you can't be filled with. That's why the Bible said of Jesus, who was so obedient, even unto the death. The Bible said God gave him the Spirit, how? Without measure. Without measure. There was nothing in him that would inhibit the full expression of God's will and purpose in his life through the Spirit of God. Isn't that incredible? This is my beloved Son. Amen. And what happened? Amen. The Spirit took the form of a dove and came and rested on him. And a voice came out of heaven and said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. But the warning here is that they that are in the flesh cannot please God. To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Everybody say in peace. Praise God. Hallelujah. And David said, great peace have they who what? Love thy law. Who embrace it and become subservient. There's victory and liberty in fully committing to be a doulos. Doug's handle on email is doulos. Amen. Everywhere, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ. Doulos. It's a stronger word than a servant. It means bond slave. Bond slave. I love the story. Don't you love the story of the year of Jubilee? Jesus came to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Amen. And the reference will take you to the year of Jubilee when people were working out debts. Amen. Every 7 years they had the debt was canceled. Whatever they owed, they hadn't worked it out. And somebody say hallelujah. In fact, I could use some of those Jubilee years myself. Praise God. Wouldn't it be great? Amen. 6.5 years I've been meeting these payments, but boy, it's almost 6 more months. No wonder they call it Year of Jubilee. I see jubilant people right now just thinking about the possibility of that. Amen. Biggest smiles all night long. Wouldn't it be great? Every 7 years they wipe it clean. Glory be to God. Look out, Best Buy, here I come. Look out, car dealership, I'm on my way. I don't know nobody, nothing. No, then we go back in debt again. But anyway, God, every 7 years they called it the year of Jubilee because the debt was paid. They had to be released. But a lot of them who had found a wonderful master said, I don't owe a debt that is holding me, binding me legally to this master. But I love this master. Who could I work for any more fair than this master? Who could I serve? I'm going to have to go out and serve somebody. Why not stay here and serve this good master? I got it good here. I work hard, but he blesses me for my hard work. Amen. Hallelujah. He's a good master, and his house is a safe refuge. I don't want to go out there and just try to make my way and do my thing. I'd rather stay here with this good master. And he did a very strange thing to seal the contract. He took a very small nail and took a wooden mallet and went to the doorpost of the house of his master. And he put it up to his ear and he whacked it through his ear into the doorpost and then pulled it back out. You know what he just did? He said, for the rest of my life, I'm going to serve this master. I am absolutely committed to this master. Can you say, man, the Lordship of Jesus Christ is a lost message in so many circles of the church. We've got our neat little faith formulas to gratify our daily needs. But what we need more than anything else is to bow before this master. So the whole, you know what will happen when we accept that Lordship of Jesus? You know what will happen? The Holy Spirit will control us. Can you say, man, we will be filled with and controlled by not our flesh, not our own selfish desires or self-serving ulterior motives, but we will be controlled by the Holy Spirit. Can you say, man? Hallelujah. And the good news is before water comes out of our belly, it's going to come up, springing up unto everlasting life. The end of this is going to be everlasting life. But in the meantime, out of our belly will flow rivers of living water for Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. We need more than some baptism experience years ago that has grown stale. We need that fresh oil, that fresh anointing. Can you say amen? We need to be yielded to Jesus because we love him. He's a good master. Can you say amen? Bible said when you're praying, pray like this. And part of the prayer for us to pray or to incorporate in all the prayers that we pray these principles. Thy kingdom come. Everybody say, thy kingdom come. Thy kingdom come. Kingdom is not a mystical thing. Somebody would get all these differential things, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, and they get kingdom. In fact, one lady that is in a pulpit preaching to thousands, tens of thousands of people, 23,000 in this city, she said God gave her a revelation of what the kingdom means. The kingdom is his way of doing things. Another, and then she began to pull out those faith formulas. And all I can see is a big vending machine. I don't see the God of the Bible. I see a vending machine. Amen. E5 gets you a goo-goo cluster. By the way, I mentioned goo-goo cluster. And sure enough, amen, on Pastor's Appreciation, I had me some goo-goo clusters. Amen. So F7, amen, is a brand new Cadillac Coupe de Ville. I just thought I'd mention these things, amen, because I'm just kidding, amen. I'm just kidding, amen. Y'all were kidding too, wasn't you, amen? Hallelujah. One year I said something about a Jeep Grand Cherokee when they came out, that black one with the shiny stuff, and a Jeep Grand Cherokee, and boy, I got a little box, you know those little boxes that says, you know, the big things come in little boxes? I got a little box, and I pulled it, and I opened it up. Amen. I'm looking at Dale and Terry because they love to do these things to me. Amen. And I pulled, and I opened that little box, and there was a keychain, amen, that said Jeep on it. And there's a key on the keychain. Amen. I opened up that box, and I thought, they're probably pulling. I don't know where they got the money. I don't know what. No, they're probably pulling that Cherokee up in my yard right now. And I'm going to run out here, amen, look in my yard, and there's sitting a big old shiny Jeep Cherokee. But I looked down in the package, and guess what was in there? A matchbox car. But it was a black Jeep Grand Cherokee. Hallelujah. I still got it sitting on my desk at home. I said, there's my Jeep Grand Cherokee. Amen. Delight thyself in the Lord, and he'll give you a matchbox car and see if you still love him. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And I still love him, Brother Sean. If this church is rich, I'd be a spoiled, rotten pastor. Amen. Thank God you're not rich, because then God have to whip me for pride. Can you say amen and bring me down? God is good, and you've been good to me. But here's what the Lord is saying very clearly. In the last days, that falling away is going to take place. Amen. We're up against spiritual forces that you can't win without God's help and God's power in your life. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. So he says, be filled with the Spirit. Don't just do it one time, but stay yielded to Jesus. Well, this lady pulled out all these faith formulas, and she called that the kingdom of God or his way of doing things. No, it isn't. Amen. And it's not mystical. It's so very practical. It'll hit you between the eyes if you ever get it. The kingdom of God is simply nothing more and nothing less than the rule or the domain of a king. Can you say amen? It's where a king reigns, undisputed in his authority. Glory be to God. That's his kingdom. Can you say amen? And God wants to reign in our life with undisputed authority. Can you say amen? Jesus wants to be the Lord of your life. And the day that he is, his kingdom is first. And until he is, his kingdom can't be first. Someone said, no man can pray, thy kingdom come, until they first pray, my kingdom go. Can you say amen? But when you yield to him, that's what it is. Seek ye first the kingdom of God means to, amen, seek to be totally surrendered to him. It means to become a doulos, a bond slave of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. And what was Paul's motivation for doing that? Amen. What motivated him to do that was his great love for the God that loved him so much that he would give his son, and the son that loved him so much that he would hang on the cross and die for him. He said, the love of Christ compels. That's what that word constraineth means. It compels me. Amen. I am driven by love to make a full-blown commitment to follow Jesus Christ, even if it cost me my life, which it did. The sad thing today is there are people dying for him. Amen. In foreign lands, when there are people that won't even live for him in America. Amen. And I am convicted by that. I don't know about you, but every time I hear someone dying for him, amen, I say, Lord, help me to at least, at the very least, live for you. Can you say amen? If you are that worthy, and you are, praise God, help me to live for you. Help me to not balk at the scriptures that go against my flesh. Hallelujah. Let me run. David said, I'm not tentative anymore. Amen. I run the way of your commandments. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. I like what the Old Testament prophet said in the time of Israel's trouble. He said, I've still got the promises of God, and I've got God's word in my heart still, and that word was found, and I did eat them, and they were unto me the joy and the rejoicing of my heart. Amen. I have been in such deep valleys, and some of my own doing, sometimes my own folly, got me into that valley. Can you say amen? But in that valley, even if he came correctively, I was so glad to hear his voice. I gladly received his words of correction. Hallelujah. Just to know he's still with me. He has not left me. Amen. Praise God. Even when he lays on the chastening rod. Amen. My son, faint not when you are chastened of him, because it's an expression of his love. If you be without chastisement, you are bastards and no sons of his. That's about as plain as the Bible can speak. Amen? And when it happens, don't run from God. Some people run to other churches if God speaks correctively. And some churches have a whole ministry based on no correction. As if everybody out there, no one needs correction. Every son. He chastens every son. There's no exception. We all have flesh to deal with. Sometimes we let it get the upper hand. Chastisement comes in a lot of different ways. But if you're a son of God, somebody said, well, he don't whip me. Of course he don't. You don't belong to him. Can you say amen? It's only for the sons. And it's an expression of parental love. I said parental love. I said parental love. Amen. I did not let my children play in the street. If I had to lay on some, you know, hickory tea, that won't put you to sleep, believe me. Amen. If I had to spank them to get them to understand that this little stinging spanking from a dad who loves you too much to let you have your own way, it's not going to hurt you. It's not going to warp you like some of these crazy doctors say. Let me tell you something about a child. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. What? And by the way, until we grow up in God, we're just like that. Amen? Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. But the rod of correction drives it far from him. Now, if you didn't grow up in my day, you don't know what in the world I'm talking about. Amen? But back in the day, I know exactly what that scripture's talking about. Can you say, man, I got away with everything they let me get away with. But my daddy, and if you've ever met my daddy, he's kind of a passive guy, seemingly. Don't let that fool you. Can you say, man? My daddy, I'd see how far I could push him because he was so sweet. I'd just see how far I could push him. And God is so sweet, some people are trying to see how far they can push him. Can you say amen? Well, God don't push. Can you say amen? You don't win that thing with him. I've seen parents promise to whip their, not whip them, but discipline them. I'm not going to tell you to go home whip you, beat on your kids or nothing like that. God don't beat on his kids. His chastisement is for our good. Amen. It'll come in a way not to break you, hurt you, mess you up. It'll come in a way to get your attention to your need for him and to deal with the stubbornness, the rebellion, whatever it is in our heart that we justify that he clearly told us in his word, don't do that. And we find ourselves justifying that. Amen. God's corrections come in love. Every son that he loves. Hallelujah. And the prime, he uses circumstance, but he wouldn't have to use circumstance if we would receive it from his word. Amen. The Bible said, now you're clean through the word that I have spoken unto you. Amen. The word of God is God breathed. Amen. And is for reproof and rebuke. There are preachers today that will not, and they're proud of it. They shout it clearly. I'd never talk about sin. In a day when sin seems to be overwhelming and conquering so many so-called believers, we need to talk about the issue. Amen. You're not going to beat the devil by not talking about the issues. Somebody said, well, sin is a non-issue. No, sin is a very real issue. Amen. Let not sin reign in your mortal body that you might obey it in the lust thereof. Can you say amen? The Bible said, thanks be unto God who always causes us to triumph. And we just talk about our authority and our authority over the devil. We don't talk a lot about our authority over the flesh. Paul said, I don't fight as one that beats the air. I'm not a shadow boxer. I know where the real battle lies. And it doesn't begin with the devil. Amen. Amen. It doesn't begin with the believer's authority over the kingdom of darkness. It starts with whether Christ's authority is reigning over us. He said, so I buffet my body. And Sean, I always think of you every time I read that scripture. Because, Sean, you know, you can use that two ways, depending on the context. I think a lot of Christians read that buffet. Can you say, man? That's what Sean said. Because buffet and buffet is spelt the same way. It's the context. Amen. Let's get out of the gnat's eyebrow 12 and head for the Golden Corral. Because Paul said, I buffet my body. That I might bring it under subjection. Because I want it to go lay down on the couch and take a nap. And if I fill up twice at Golden Corral, I can discipline myself to go home and lay down on the couch and take a long nap. Can you say amen? You know what Paul said? He said, I don't fight as one that beateth the air. I'm not shadow boxing. And I'm not going to begin with the devil. I'm going to begin with me. See, every man is tempted when he's led away of something that is unsubmitted in him to the lordship of Jesus. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Give no what? Give no place to the devil. Because if we don't give it, he can't take it. He can't take it. The devil has never overwhelmed anybody. Every man is tempted when he's led away of his own lust. Something unsurrendered in me is giving ground to him. But if everything in me is surrendered to Christ, there is no ground given to him. Let not sin reign in your mortal body, that you might obey it in the lusts thereof. Is it an issue? You bet it is. Amen. This world is full of pollutions and temptations and distractions and deceptions. But the Lord has come and said, don't be drunk with wine. Don't just feed your flesh. Feed your spirit and yield to the lordship of Jesus. Be filled with and controlled by the Holy Ghost. Take you no thought for your life, what you shall eat or drink or wherewith you be clothed, because the Gentiles or all the unsaved world is concerned about all of these things. But your Father knows what you have need of. But seek you first his kingdom, thy kingdom come. And what is representative of that? Thy will be done. Thy will be done. Thy will be done, not my will. We got the authority of the believer having God jump to my tomb. God don't jump to nobody's tomb. Amen. This thing is backwards. It's backwards. If you look at it, I used to get upset when I saw the Satanists take a cross, an upside down cross, to cast aspersions on Jesus, to blaspheme the very blood and cross of Jesus. But I'm going to tell you, when we take the gospel and we turn it upside down, amen, just preach it backwards. Come on, there's something satanic about that. There's something going on, can you say, man? When we put it upside down. Listen, we took a scripture in the Old Testament concerning the work of my hands, command you me, and we thought we could tell God what to do. Amen. And he was going to jump down and do it. We even put ourselves on his level. Had a guy on television recently say, I don't know what all this uproar is about claiming to be God. I am a God. The fact that these guys can say stuff as upside down as that is one thing. The fact that tens of thousands of Christians give tens of millions of dollars so they can perpetuate it is something else again. Incredible. The actual context of that scripture is God telling man, you don't tell me what to do. Instead of you can tell me what to do. You want me to read it the way God said it? Commanding the work of my hands, command. Changes everything, doesn't it? Context changes all the text out there. It either verifies it or nullifies it. It's not what a text says, it's what the context says. And a text out of context is a pretext. And that's what's deceiving people all over the place. We're in the most religiously popular generation that there's ever been in America, and the most biblically illiterate. Because if we knew this Bible, we wouldn't follow those crazy people. You see people in business suits that have jobs that require college degrees following this because they don't have spiritual discernment. But strong meat belongs to those that are of full age, that by reason of the exercise of their senses are able to discern good and evil. The context of he that's in you and he that is greater than he is that's in the world is not about power against power. It's about the spirit of Antichrist and the true spirit of God. Can you say amen? It's about being able to discern that. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, I want the strong meat of the word. Praise the Lord. I want to know. I want to be able to check things out by the word of God. I want to be filled with the spirit, because when he, the spirit of truth, this is why it's so crucial. When he, the spirit of truth has come, he will guide you into all truth. He that's in you is greater than he that's in the world. But because of this, we have no need that any man teach us. That doesn't mean that you don't need Bible studies and preachers, or the teaching ministry is invalid. It means when it comes down to your soul, you have to check it all out by the word of God. Hallelujah. Paul said, if an angel tells you something else, let him be anathema. Amen. And if you get a letter from us after we've taught you the truth, if we change our mind and tell you something different, don't pay any more attention to us. Amen. Well, how could they check out angels and check out Paul? They had to have an unction. The Bible said we have in the Holy Spirit an unction. Everybody say special anointing. And that anointing is to know truth. Can you say amen? From the Holy One and know all things. We're able to discern. And what is missing in the church today is simple, plain, spiritual discernment. I'm not talking about the gift of discerning of spirits. Amen. Whether this is a spirit of this or a spirit of that in operation. I'm talking about discerning truth from error. Amen. Truth from error. How do you know we don't have that operating? Because so many people follow error that turns the Bible upside down. Because of the persuasive personality of the preachers. Amen. Amen. And because of the tens of thousands that follow them, you kind of get this crowd psychology. It's kind of an ecclesiastical peer pressure. Everybody else is doing it. Everybody else is lauding it. Everybody else is applauding it. The Bible is still true. The blind follow the blind. It's not a matter of how many follow the blind. Everybody ends up in the same place, the ditch together. God don't want you in a ditch. He wants you filled with the Spirit, and that involves discernment. Can you say amen? Because he's not just one, a giver of a liver shiver. When he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he personally will guide you into all truth. Can you say amen? Brother Ben, well, how many people are going to be deceived? Amen. Listen, everybody that doesn't get into God in a situation, in a circumstance in their life to where they're going to get in this book. I remember I went to my pastor shortly after getting saved. I went to a meeting. I'll tell you this quickly as we close. I went to a meeting and I went to my pastor for some guidance, biblical guidance, because I was in a meeting, a tent meeting that my pastor was attending. And my pastor's wife was attending. And I'm a new Christian. And I'm not a know-it-all. And I know this is going to strike you strange. And it's going to be a hard statement to receive. But I still don't know it all. I'm learning every day of my life. I'm a scholar. Amen. And a follower of Jesus. I'm a disciple. I want to be more like him. And so anyway, this guy was preaching. And we're all Pentecostal. And we love God, and we want to be filled with the Spirit, and we want everything that's coming from the Spirit of God. We're hungry for the things of God. He's preaching. And one night in particular, and we're all going with it, one night in particular, he said, you know, he said, last night, and he said, the same thing's going to happen tonight. He said, last night while I was preaching, he said, God reached down and took me out of my body. And he said, I actually sit up above myself and said, Jesus entered my, not the Holy Spirit, but Jesus entered my body. Wow, this is heavy. Everybody say that's deep. We just need to define that. Amen. And now Jesus took over and just used my body to minister. I know Paul says, no more I that live, but Christ that liveth in me. But that's the work of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God in tandem. That's not Jesus. The man, listen, no man becomes Jesus. No Christian becomes God, little g or big G. And he said, and sure enough, that night, when he began to pray for people, he had already sowed the seed that he's going to sit up above. And now Jesus has come into him, not in the sense of Christ in you, the hope of glory, but now he, during that time, is divine. There's a guy up north, they called him Father Divine. And he was a shyster. He's a nut. This thing really isn't new as you think it is. It's just more pervasive and out front than we've ever seen it. But it's really not new. You know where this I want to be God started? It didn't start with Christians going to the ultimate that God had called me. It started with a devil that wanted God's place. Can you say, man, that said, I will sit in the congregation of the north. I'll exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will be like the Most High. Some night when we got time to teach in the book of Revelation, you know what the devil's doing during the tribulation? He's trying to exactly replicate, amen, what God did. There is a Father, there's a Son, and there's a Holy Ghost represented in the Antichrist and the false prophet, amen, that false prophet that causes fire to fall, amen, is replicating what God did when Elijah offered the correct sacrifices. He still wants to be God. That got him and a third of the angels that he persuaded to be kicked out of heaven. And if angels that dwell in the presence of this truth and this kind of light can be deceived into following, amen, the devil without being filled with the Spirit. Now, I'm not talking about talking in tongues. I'm talking about yielding completely to Jesus and not letting your flesh rule in your life. Can you say, man, I'm telling you right now, you're no match for this enemy. Those preachers and those pulpits are no match. Can you say, man, unless they yield to Jesus? It's not about how anointed you are. It's about whether or not Jesus is the Lord. And I am absolutely convinced that there's people left here because we won't line up with the popular movements. They must leave because I'm not changing. And it's not because I'm old school and set in my way. It's because the Lord God of Israel changes not. Amen. It's because he is not progressive. Amen. I was on vacation with my dad and I was laying there in bed at night. And my dad was up and down all night. So I turned on the TV and there was a Christian channel on. And there was a guy preaching and he said a deacon came to him and said, "You need, don't you feel like you need more theology in your teaching, more of the Word of God, more scriptures involved?" And he said, no. He said, "That was my daddy did it that way, and this is a new day, and God is doing a new thing." I thought, wow, that's incredible. God isn't perfect after all. He has to adjust for postmodern world. Isn't that amazing? He isn't perfect. Amen? Because he's having to constantly adjust himself to what the culture decides they want him to be. In fact, God must be, and you'll like this. This is especially for Jimmy. God must be a shapeshifter. Can you say amen? Come on. That's what he's actually saying. God is a shapeshifter. Well, he did it on national television. His initials is Joel Osteen. Nobody seems to care. He doesn't care to get on TV and talk that way. Amen. So he said, he pointed out, you know what he pointed out? My daddy had 8,000 people. I got 30,000. Well, that certainly makes it true then. Of course. If you got 30,000 people listening to you, how can you be wrong? Because he said, God is progressive. You can't put God in a box. Wait a minute. He's the Lord God of Israel. You know why he don't have to change, Sean? Because he's perfect. He's not progressive. He's perfect. His word is tried as silver is tried. Heaven and earth will pass away, but his word will abide forever. It doesn't need editing. But now he's progressive. He's a shapeshifter. He was that way a generation ago, but he's this way now. No, he isn't. No, he isn't. Thy word is forever settled in heaven. And Jesus Christ, oh, by the way, he's the same yesterday, today, and he will be forever. Hallelujah. This is the rock that stands when everything else shakes around us. Can you say, man, it's the unchanging Word of God and the unchanging God who gave it to us. Somebody give him praise tonight. Thank God he's not a shapeshifter. And so the deacon left. And amazing, you got 30,000 people and it bothers you that that one man couldn't handle your preaching. 30,000 people saying, yes, yes, yes. And one man says, I don't believe this is correct. And he's got to address it on national television. How insecure and how needy for men's embrace and applause. That it bugs somebody with 30,000, a million people buying the book. Your best life now. One preacher on preaching his sermon on YouTube said the only people who think this is your best life now are people that are not going to heaven when they die. Of course, he was not Pentecostal. Can you say amen? He wasn't Pentecostal. We don't need to give up our Pentecostal heritage and identity. We need to add some truth to all of this. We need to embrace the truth. Can you say amen? And not go with the crowd. So Joel said, God is progressive. You can't put him in a box. What he did back then, he's not doing now. In other words, he said doctrine isn't as important now as it was then. In other words, if someone talks to me about teaching more doctrine, said my daddy taught doctrine. He said, but doctrine is not that important now because God's doing a new thing. In other words, God's doing this work without any background in the Word of God that's really strong. There's no real foundation in the world. Oh, yeah, there's a scripture read at the beginning, but there's more little stories than there is the Word of God. Because the Word of God is given by inspiration of God and is good for reproof. And there's some, he says, I don't do that. Our people need lifting up. They don't need a trip put on them when they come to church. So there's no reproof. So if you're doing wrong, no one's going to bug you about that. That means because the Word of God is not coming forth from the pulpit to reprove anybody. And people have left here because of reproof. They were doing wrong and God pushed their button. They thought I preached it for them and I didn't even know what they were doing. Amen. I tried out for pastoring before coming to the church in Springhead out from Plant City. And I went in and I was all ready and I'm a young preacher and I didn't know much about the Word of God. I was ultra dependent on the Holy Ghost. Amen. I want God to give me a message. I knew I was going to preach and they were going to be listening to see if they wanted me as their pastor. I wanted to bring them a humdinger. Can you say, man? I want to let them know what God got his hand on me, what I'm going to say. Amen. And all day long, I studied, I searched, I marked scripture. I did everything I knew to do and nothing was quickened to me. And I knew that I was so young and inexperienced, if it wasn't quickened to me, amen, then I'd look at them looking back at me. Amen. And you know what the Bible said to Jeremiah in the same sense? He said, don't look at their faces or you're going to get confused. And I thought, tell me about it. Amen. Come on. Vance Havner said, I've seen happier faces on iodine bottles. That's old school. There was skull and crossbones on there. And it wasn't the Buccaneers either. Amen. And so you remember. Thank you. Thank you, sister. All these young people I don't connect with anymore. Amen. I got up on the platform and I'm still searching. Praying and searching. Praying. I don't have a message. I'm getting ready to preach without a message. Amen. I needed it quickened back then. I wasn't good at it. Amen. I had to have the Holy Spirit quicken something to me to preach. So I went in the back. Yeah. Back before we were so good at it, we actually needed the Holy Ghost. Amen. People probably heard what he had to say. every now and then instead of what we concocted. Anyway, I went in the back room. Amen. The son, I said, can I go get a drink of water? Where's the water fountain? He pointed back that way, and I thought, this is my out while they're singing all those songs. Amen. No, I wasn't going to run away. I just had to go get the mind of God. I wanted to get by myself. I wanted no distraction. And I ran back. I ran back and got way out there in the Sunday school area where the water fountain was. And my mouth was dry. I'll be honest with you. I drank me some water, and I went in one of those empty rooms, and I got down on my knees, and I said, Lord, they expect me to preach tonight, and you have not given me a message. Nothing I turned to is quickened. Amen. I flipped a light on inside that room. Amen. And I began to read. And you know what God quickened to me to preach, to try out as pastor? Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. God jumped that out, quickened it to my spirit. I didn't know them from Adam's house cat. I came there to make a good impression. I'm going to tell you something. You don't make a good impression on people by calling them hypocrites. Amen. That's not your best message if you're trying out to be their pastor. And I wasn't going to call them hypocrites. I was just going to preach the message God gave me to give them. Hypocrisy is dangerous. And God's word is for reproof. And when necessary, rebuke and instruction in righteousness. If you really seek the kingdom of God, this little faith formula, no, seek the kingdom of God in His righteousness. Not just His way of doing things, but bowing to His will. There's a vast difference in finding a little faith formula in that scripture to get what you want and acquiescing on your knees to His will and eternal purpose. Thy kingdom come means my kingdom go. People like to be in the driver's seat. They like to feel like they command him. No, he's the commander. Amen. Listen to me carefully. And I love it that way because I can mess everything up, but he's not going to mess nothing up. Amen. Amen. And I love to follow him. Praise God. And following him's the best life in all of the world. Nothing like it. He said, I'll lead you in a plain pathway. His word becomes what to your feet? A lamp and a light. Praise God. That means the devil who Satan, all those traps. Praise God. You can see the pathway through it all. You can see God's way through it all. Praise God. And I remember praying. I come back and I thought, there's nothing else quickened to me. And I came and introduced myself and thanked them for having me and opened my Bible. Amen. And said, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. And I began to talk on the fact that word had to do with actors in a play that were playing a role. But whatever role they played, and you know there's some actors in television that actually people meet them on the street, and some people thought Captain Kirk was really Captain Kirk. Amen. Honestly, some of those people came up and wanted him. They wanted Scotty to beam them up and all kind of nonsense. I mean, there are people that people hate. There's a guy the other day on at the end of the Christmas Story movie. There's a guy that the guy with the yellow teeth who really don't have. I mean, yellow eyes that really wasn't yellow. You know, the tough guy on the Christmas Story said people always come up to him all the time. You know, because he was the bully and he was just playing a role. My mother-in-law would watch the Hallmark Channel, and she would say, see those kids? Those are the meanest kids. I'm telling you, those kids are mean kids right there. And Pamela would say, Mama, those are just children acting. don't let it mess you up. You see that woman? That's a mean woman right there. No, she's an actress playing a role. Did you know some of the good people on there are really mean? And some of the mean people on there are probably some of the nicest people you'd want to meet. Hypocrisy means we're playing a role. So God moved in that message. Amen. No one responded. You could hear a pin drop. I got my Bible at the end, made the altar call. Nobody came. Nobody flinched. They were all glaring at me, you know. And I decided, oh, I'm so glad I'm not the pastor of this church. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. I'm going to my car, and I made a beeline for the car. I didn't look back. Amen. I wanted to get home. Amen. Get out of there. And the pastor beat me to the car. As I sit down under the wheel, he was standing right there, and he said, I want to tell you something. He said, I'm leaving this church because this church is full of hypocrisy. He said, I want you to know something right now. The reason they're looking for a preacher is because I ain't going to stay here any longer. Can you say, man? He said, God gave you that message tonight. He said, there's not a person in that church that is going to believe that you and I didn't talk on the phone before you came. Not a person. He told me that. And he said, and I'm going to tell you something else. He said, you know, and I know that I didn't tell you nothing about my church or my circumstance. Amen. He said, but God knew what was going on in there. And God gave you a message. He said, I just want you to know, don't be discouraged because nobody responded. God gave you that message. Whether they listen or whether they don't. Amen. God gave you that message. Well, it made me feel good to at least know. Amen. I've carried that lesson through life. There are services where nobody responds, but I know the unction of the Spirit, and I know the authority of God's Word. And when God's Word is given, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for reproof and rebuke and for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be fully furnished unto every good work. All of it is for us to receive, because it's all given in love, even the correction. Amen. And when a preacher says, I never correct, I never rebuke, I never reprove, then how can he give you what God said that you have to have if you're his? He's not. So no one is convicted, no one is corrected. Beware when all men speak well of you, for they spoke well of the false prophets that came before you. Can you say amen? The time will come when men will not endure sound doctrine, correct teaching, pure biblical teaching. But they will go to church. They will support ministries. In fact, they will heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. One pastor was lamenting that he couldn't even win people to Christ because they were so enamored with television preaching. Amen. That they told him that I already got a guy that I listen to on television. I don't need to hear, deal with. See, they don't need to be asked, am I a sinner? Am I ready if I died this moment to meet God? Do I need to repent? What a day this is. And all of it's done with a Colgate smile. Amen. There's nothing to indicate except this, that something is awry. And this, God is progressive. God is doing a new thing. He's not, because he doesn't need to, because his word is perfect, and he is perfect. Can you say amen? And he doesn't alter it to fit a postmodern world. In a consumer-driven society. Amen? He doesn't need to. He wants to alter us and to bring us out of the flow of this world into the flow of righteousness. Amen. Praise God. Isn't he a good God tonight? Amen. Aren't you glad that you got enough sense to follow him in these desperate times that we are living? My sheep know my voice. The stranger they won't follow. Amen. So I went on home and I went to bed glad that I knew God had used me that night. Amen. Of course, I knew I wasn't going to pastor that church, but that's okay. I didn't want to anyway after that. But I was laying in bed. I got dead asleep, deep sleep, and the phone rang. Now, back then, the ringers would get you up. Amen. Bring, bring. And I grabbed the phone up and I said, hello? Brother Venable, I know that you don't know me, but I'm Sister So-and-so. I said, well, you're right. I don't know you. It's 12 o'clock midnight. My phone is ringing. She said, Brother Venable, I want you to know something. And I thought, dear Lord, woman, what's wrong? I didn't say it, but, you know, I'm trying to be great. What's wrong with you? She said, I want you to know that when you preach tonight, then it began to occur to me. She was in that meeting. I don't know who she was. I don't know which one she was. In fact, back then, I did not want to make eye contact with anybody. I preached like this. Amen. You see that vent up there? When it gets hard and I start looking at that vent because I don't want to see anybody's faces. Amen. I used to do that. I just preaching up to that vent. Praise God. Amen. Amen. So anyway, she says, 6 months ago, I left my husband, and I've been living with another man. And I know that you preached to me tonight. I know the pastor told you about that. And I just want you to know that I still love God. And I know he still loves me. And I said, ma'am, your preacher didn't tell me nothing about you. I don't know who you are. She said, oh, clink. She hung up. I now got her name. I wouldn't have known who she was in the bunch. You know what happened when she got home? The hypocrisy began to weigh on her. Mushallah, Bobby, come on. You can't live out there with another man and go, come tie my bow tie on Sunday morning. Can you say amen to convince people you're spiritual and following Jesus? Can you say amen? You got to seek his kingdom and his righteousness. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So that he can do what? Father you. Protect you, provide for you. Can you say amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. And I learned something. Amen. That the word of God is going to hit somebody. And sometimes, believe it or not, it hits me. I have preached myself under conviction. Went home. Not that I'm a hypocrite. No. I'm a real, genuine, desiring man of following Jesus. But this word is perfect and I am not yet. I know it's a shock to you. I know it's hard to believe. He's still working on me. I'm going on to perfection. Not that I have apprehended, but that I might apprehend what he apprehended me to apprehend. Forgetting the things that are behind and pressing toward the things that are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Be ye not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit. Hallelujah. Understanding what the will of the Lord is. Hallelujah. This is crucial for people living in the day of the falling away, the apostate church, the love of many waxing cold, and the world pushing us, trying to press us into its mold. Amen. We need that kind of devotion. We need his lordship like never before, because the day that we bow to his lordship, automatically comes the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Brother, would you come tonight? Praise God. Isn't God gracious tonight? Hallelujah. We didn't even get into the rest of it, but we'll save it. Hallelujah. God is a gracious God. How many people want to be a doulos Christian? And I'm not talking about Doug. I mean, he's a good guy, but he's not our pattern. And I'm not your pattern. I'm an example to the flock of seeking to follow and present the true pattern in my life. But I'm not perfect at it. Amen. If you're looking at me for perfection, you'll never find it. But if you're looking for someone who continually is pressing, I'm pressing toward the mark. Been doing this all these years, and I'm still pressing toward the mark. And the world is still pushing back. Can you say amen? The culture is pushing back, but I'm still pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling in Jesus Christ. And it's that pressing on church that God is going to use to spearhead and be the vanguard for his last day move on this planet. Praise God. It's those pressing on Christians that God is going to fill, amen, and control with his Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Let's press on. Can you say amen? Not just press in, but press on. Praise God. Amen. Will you stand to your feet tonight? The one song is a very short song that ends abruptly. Give you warning. It's from Kentucky. My old stomping ground when I was 14 months old. Amen. But the next one is from Africa, if we get to it. Amen. That simply says, I love you, Yesu. And then I praise your name. Let's just give him praise tonight. Open your life to the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah.